going on with the lighting?
Good morning.
Happy New Year, right?
And welcome to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board meeting for regularly scheduled Thursday, January 8th, 2015. Let the record show, it's 9:10. We are starting a little bit late. We are coming off of a closed session meeting. We are calling the meeting to order now, and we have John Myers, who is calling in remotely from San Mateo Road in Palm Springs. And John, are you there? John, are you there? AGP? Can we?
Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you, yep.
Yeah, I have to mute myself
okay. For
AGP instructions, so it takes me a second to get back on. So.
Okay, so just making sure you're there. So let the record reflect that Mr. Myers is there and calling in. And at this time, we'll open the floor up for public comment. I see no one in the audience here, and I'm just wondering, John, is there anyone there in Palm Springs for public comment?
There's several hundred people outside. I've asked them to take numbers.
Okay.
So we're actually going to do this in alphabetical order.
Okay.
Okay, would the A's please step up to the front door?
I think the last name is Aaron, right? A-A-R-O-N?
No, there's nobody here.
Okay. All right. That's terrific. Okay. So at this time, we will close public comment both in Morro Bay and in Palm Springs. And we will look for the approval of minutes. And one moment, please. I have those here. I trust everybody did have an opportunity to look over the minutes. Is that true? Okay. Were there any questions on the minutes, or did anybody want to make any changes on the minutes?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes.
I'll second.
There's a second, and can you please just state that those are the December 11th meeting minutes?
Yeah, I was just going to say, let me find the exact date.
December 11th,
yep.
Yeah, meeting minutes. So the motion is... by Member Hawkes to approve the December 11th meeting minutes, and there was a second by, who?
Member Mendoza.
Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. And I have to do a roll call, so we're going to do an all in favor, and we're going to start with you, John. Are you in favor of that?
Yes.
Okay. Amit? Nick?
Yes.
Michelle?
Yes.
And myself, yes. So the motion carries to approve the minutes with everyone in. And now we are moving to item number 4, which is the election of chair and vice chair. And I do have to open it up for public comment. But I'm going to let everyone know that until somebody shows up here in our room, I'm going to forego opening and closing public comment with each item. If somebody shows up here, then we'll open it for public comment. Forward this way, but if not, I think we should select at least a temporary vice chair and secretary.
I think we just let Nick take the reins next year. I know for me personally, I can't take on vice chair or secretary, so I guess we would look at Amit. If he's available to take on that, then...
I think I agree with you. We'll let the Nick...
So
let me ask this, if I may. Uh-huh. Do you have any plans on travel plans for next month?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'd love to travel. I mean,
no,
everyone's looking at me.
You know, just I'd be glad to cover a meeting if you're able to do it.
Okay.
I think I've done it once before. So
yeah.
It's like riding a bike, you know.
Yeah, it comes back to you, right? And if you fall off, these guys will catch you.
Absolutely.
So. Okay, so it looks like that's going to appear on the agenda again. So it's going to have to appear in the February meeting again. And I'm not sure whether Member Myers and Mendoza are going to reapply, but if they do and they're placed back on the board, we could continue having Nick be the treasurer. That would just flow through. But that means that some new board members might be up for these positions. And quite frankly, they may not feel like they have enough time under their belts either. So this is going to be an ongoing thing that's going to appear on our agenda until we have a board that has a comfort level with, you know, in-depth knowledge and stepping up and taking those roles. So, okay. Are you okay with all that, John?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. And so we will move that out to a continued agenda item, Brent. Thank you very much. Okay, and now we are moving on to 5, the treasurer's report. And for that, we were supplied a budget. We will go through the budget update first, and then we'll move on to a TOT report. And for the treasurer's report, I'll turn it over to you, Nick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not much to report in the budget. You know, we're about halfway through, and we're kind of cruising along here, and I didn't really notice anything out of the ordinary. So if Brent wants to jump in with any comment, or are there any questions, comments, or concerns?
And I can. We haven't received an invoice yet from Verdin or from Mental Marketing. So there are some activities that have happened in the month of part of November and December that are not shown here specifically. So one other thing to definitely note, too, we did actually receive an invoice from one of the events that actually received the event grant for fiscal 13-14, and so that is actually not reflected on here either under community events. So we're a little bit higher as far as like percentage. The car show did not submit their for payment for the grant until just recently. So that's actually not reflected in the fiscal update. So we're probably at about 4% right now.
Also, the thing I just, excuse me, on the very bottom line, we put the, I'm not sure if we had that in last time, but we do have the roughly the $35,000 financial reserve, and that's a 5% of budgeted assessment funds. I think we're finally got that situated. I think we talked about doing that last month, I believe.
Are there any other questions for Brent? And Brent, I know that, and I'm going to say this because of the, you know, I'm on the 50th committee. The 50th committee did not do a lighting program, and so that lighting program fund is in the event fund. And I wasn't sure if you had made some decision to redistribute that or to add that to what is going to be existing for this year.
I think we're going to have to do that, Joan, because, you know, obviously it was dollars that was given to us from the city to be able to distribute that. So any funds that aren't being used will have to actually funnel back into that. So the grant funds will actually increase to 42.5.
Great. That's what I wanted to know. That's terrific. Okay. Good for events this year, right? Any questions to Nick or Brent? John, any questions?
No, not at all.
Okay. Anyone else? Nick, Michelle, Amit? No questions? Okay. Always, November is always a tough month.
Absolutely.
In terms of what goes on, because folks don't tend to, their trend is, there's that 3-day weekend where they travel that's Veterans Day weekend, and then they tend to stay home to gear up for the Thanksgiving Day weekend. So, you know, that's it. You get 2 little pops of activity. And, you know, in between then, it's a tough deal to get people out of their houses. And then after Thanksgiving and before the holiday, that 2-week family gap where, of course, we talk about this all the time, people really travel when their families are available to accept them and when the kids are out of school, right? And so that gap in between Thanksgiving and when the schools get out, it's another tough go. So I'm glad to see any increases there on those. Any other comment? Amit? Michelle? John, any comments? And then I'll turn to Brent because I think Brent has something he wants to say. John?
No, I think that's fine. You know, occupancy was up, but also ADR and RevPAR. So all three categories were up. So, and I know we focus on occupancy, but you got to look at all three of those. So I think, you know, up almost 8% for the month, just short of 15% for the year, and then seeing all three, ADR, RevPAR, and occupancy up, is, you know, I mean, geez, that's exactly what you'd love to see.
Yeah, I, you know, by no means is this, you know, it's funny, we've seen such gains that now that we see gains, I think sometimes we become, you know, not complacent about them, but we're like, oh, it's a gain, you know.
Right. Like it's expected. But
yeah.
It does takes a lot of work to keep the train going, you know.
It does, you know, and once it stops, it's three times as hard to get it rolling down the track again. So good that we're continual rolling even in those tough months. Let me turn it over to Brent.
Well, you know, obviously, I'd love to see those numbers higher. You know, we're sometimes our own worst critic. You know, when numbers are coming in, and unfortunately, we don't see those numbers until 2 months later, and it's hard to be able to react. So that's something that I think that as we're going to be doing our strategic planning in February, we can definitely talk about. You know, what are those indicators so we can actually react more quickly if occupancy is down? I mean, I try to watch the vacancy reports, et cetera, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't always receive information from all of the lodging, so might have to take a look at how we can, you know, how we can look at numbers and to be able to react with different marketing and PR efforts if we are seeing the numbers not quite coming in as strongly as what we want to. I think the other thing is that as we're planning for this next fiscal year, it'd be really great. Part of what I'm planning on doing is that I'd love to actually have a kind of a group where we can do some brainstorming, talking about different promotions to see how we can actually try to boost more business in the month of November, still looking at statistically and historically about how people are traveling here to Morro Bay. But at the same time, you know, as we are administering different grants, you know, one of the things to be thinking about, any event organizers that are listening out in the Morro Bay world, is that, you know, if somebody is looking at having a larger event to bring people into Morro Bay, there's definitely some opportunities for development grants through the grant process that we're going to be administering on behalf of the city. So just some things to be thinking about if there's an existing event and happen to be looking at maybe moving it to November. I know the Merchant Street Fair, they're thinking about perhaps changing the date of their event. But November is actually lacking a lot in events, especially family events, and in bringing people into Morro Bay. So might be something for event organizers to be thinking about out there.
Good thoughts. Thank you, Brent. Anyone else on that? Then let's take a look at our quarterly TOT reports that we put together, and of course it's the size of a map of the universe when
pages.
You print it
only 49
out.
Pages.
It's only 49 pages, that's right. I know, huh? How about that? And for this, I'm actually going to turn it over to you. John Myers, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to turn it over to you to give us some coverage, in-depth coverage of the 49-page quarterly TOT report. And I actually blew it up like a map so I could see the numbers. Everyone's like laughing at me, but you guys are going to be huddled around this. I know, it's
terrific. John?
Yes.
We have AGP we have the report actually on screen. So as you're going through the report, if you could give directions to AGP on, you know, which.
On the spreadsheet, it's column P, excuse me, column Q is the one I always focus on. And this is the TOT that's been collected by the city this year, and it shows the over or under budget number year to date through November. So at the bottom of that, you can see it totals to $323,000 over budget for TOT collected by the city for the year. So same as last month, and it will be the same as next month. I hope that we'll extend a challenge to city council to tell us what they're doing with that money, because there's $323,000 of over-budget condition, which we've generated for the city of Morro Bay for the first 5 months of this year. I know later on we'll be talking about vacation rentals and that kind of stuff. Columns R and S show the value of what vacation rentals and trailer parks, RV parks, would generate for the TBID if they were part of the TBID. And I think it's interesting to note that under the RV parks, or trailer parks as I've called them, year-to-date we would have earned about $24,000 worth of assessment money if we were charging 3%. That number doesn't change a whole lot, because the RV parks are, you know, generally running in the 90-something percent occupancy range, so there's not a lot of room to grow just because there's not a lot of inventory to fill. Whereas on vacation rentals at 3%, it's up to, through the first 5 months of the year, up to $42,000. So I would expect that vacation rentals could generate in the neighborhood of, you know, close to $80,000 to $100,000 for the current year in assessment money for the TBID if they were part of the TBID. So that combined, those two numbers are starting to be, you know, meaningful numbers that would I think have a significant impact on our overall budget and our overall ability to stretch our marketing campaign if they were part of the program. Other than that, I realize it's the calendar quarter, but because the way the numbers come in, particularly for sales tax, the report is I guess a little bit brief this time, because it's shorted, truncated by the fact that we don't have sales tax information to report. On the quarterly numbers, I'm not updating the quarterly numbers until we complete a calendar quarter. So then next February's report, we'll have the calendar, the quarterly report updated through December. It's somewhat misleading if you look at a quarter with only 2 months in it, so I've stopped doing that. I don't think that makes sense. Anyway, at that point, I'll just leave this report on the table and ask if there's any questions from anybody in the audience or on the board. And I've got probably 25 questions from people out in the street here. Should I go through those first, chairperson?
Again, yes, you need to start with Mr. Aaron, who's there, A-A-R-O-N, right?
Were there any questions from anybody?
I'll go through one by one on the folks here. Amit, do you have any questions on this one? No? Nick?
John, could you mentioned the, because my computer, I think, breaks up this spreadsheet into several different sheets, so it's kind of hard to follow, but you'd mentioned that you mentioned a line or an amount that the city was, or the budget was over, or the TOT was over budget.
Yeah.
What was that? 323,000. Yeah, I'm trying to find.
It's that would the be fifth column from the end.
Yeah, it would be, if it was all in one spreadsheet, it's column Q, line 98.
Yeah, it just breaks it up in a bunch of different.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's the sixth column from the end, including the
four.
It's labeled TOT collected versus city budget.
Yeah, right there. That's the link. Here somewhere. Scroll down. That's a different year. Scroll down. It's that column, but where? Keep scrolling.
Yeah, last year that number was 515, 325, and this year to date it's 323,091. It's the very bottom page.
Should be one of the last.
Very bottom of the page. Here, let me pass this over.
While they are looking at that, I did want to let the listening audience know that this report is actually available at morrobay.org /BID, and it's actually called TOT Report. So if anybody, again, in the listening audience wants to download that report, we do have it available on the morrobay.org website.
All right, I figured out. I answered my own question. Thank you.
You can actually look at it. And for me, it's a I'm a visual. It's hard to flip through pages. So,
like that, yeah.
But, John, amazing work. amazing, amazing. Thank you. I just can't tell you how cool this is to see.
It's like the size of a set of building plans, John. I do have a comment on it. And my comment is purely regarding that your comment. I'd like to bounce off your comment on vacation rental receipts.
Yeah.
And so Michelle and I were sitting here, and we were following along on what you were saying. And on the vacation rental receipts, in 2010, when the TBID kicked in, basically for a full year, the receipts were 1.362. And so the TOT collected on vacation rentals was $136,000. And the next year, in 2011, it jumped to $138,000. So there was a $2,000 gain. But then in 2012, it jumped to $153,000 in TOT collection. And 2013, $170,000. 2014, it went to $191,000. And this year, it's going to go up. They're going to they are going to collect the vacation rental receipts are on schedule to break a record, to break $2 million in receipts. Which is huge for vacation rentals in this town.
This is interesting, too. The first, what is this, the first 5 months in 2015, they are almost going to match the entire year of 2010. Look at that. They brought in 139. That's more money in 5 months of fiscal this year than they brought in the entire year
in
of
2010.
That's amazing. So that's over that's a huge growth
for vacation rentals.
5 years.
So, right. So, it speaks for itself. It speaks volumes, right? I mean, I wish we could get them to the table. And I think, they're getting geared up to come to the table and bring ideas and thoughts about creative ways to grow their industry. And that's healthy in terms of communication in the community and communication for them and to the city and growth for the city and sustainability for the overall city benefit. So, Michelle and I were sitting here pointing out numbers to each other while you were going over them, and it's pretty important. But when you get back, I'm going to show you my little map of the universe here that you put together, which is giant. But let's move on to the historic one. I'll turn it back over to you.
Hey, Joan, before we go,
sorry, excuse me, yes.
What might be actually a really great idea, too, is that we should probably try to connect with Don Maruska, and it would be probably a great idea to see if there could be a LEAP workshop, surrounding, just all of the collection that's actually being done when it comes to hotel, motel, vacation rentals, and RV parks, because there are probably some opportunities that we're all missing out on as we're looking into the future for the economic development for Morro Bay. So I don't know if that's something that we would want to spearhead or if we just want to do a little bit more discussion on that.
So are you, leaning towards a task force? What are you leaning towards? I just want to be clear on what you're asking us as a board.
Well, Don Maruska has been doing a number of different workshops, and right. He has a number of different task forces working on different projects, kind of those short wins. Perhaps this is something that we could bring to the attention of him and some, to the city manager and city council on how these numbers are actually all coming in and really looking at what are those future opportunities of being able to work together. Are there opportunities, with vacation rentals, RV parks, et cetera? Especially with the onset of the TMD, I think we do have to work a little bit more closely together in the future.
Kind of along that line, and this steals a little bit from the VRBO report coming down the road and later in the agenda, but if you look at other cities, they're looking at vacation rentals and room rentals. Other cities that are tourism driven, they're looking at those vacation rentals and room rentals as basically inventory, room inventory, and they're trying to figure out how to fill the inventory. And you've got a kind of a different animal, I think, that rents a house as opposed to rents a hotel room. We talked about this a little bit last month. So you've got an ability to attract a different kind of customer if you're offering, you know, vacation rental, whole house rental opportunities. And in that sense, I think it can be an important part of growing your...
Our historic data now, John?
Yeah, under the historical table, all the way at the bottom, Section 3, which is City of Morro Bay data compared to California and regional markets, STR. Mm-hmm. I'll wait till AGP can get that up on the screen.
Okay, we're set. He's got it. He's up there.
Okay. Now, this... first thing to remember, this slide is presented on a calendar basis. So this is showing 11 months through November 2014. And the reason for that is that's the way Smith Travel reports their numbers. They use a calendar reporting system as opposed to a fiscal year. But this compares us to California, SLO, Paso Robles, Santa Barbara, Santa Maria, and Monterey, Salinas. So if you look at the first column, once again, occupancy year to date on the calendar year, we're up 7.6%. You know, basically double the increase in occupancy of all the other four geographic areas we look at. RevPAR up 16.1%, well above everybody else. And then as well in ADR, it's not quite as big a spread, but we're still coming in number one at 7.9% increase year-to-date for ADR. So, and we, as we have said in the past, we're comparing this to Smith Travel numbers. We're getting 100% sample in Morro Bay. We're not getting 100% sample in any of those other markets. So we can't exactly take these numbers to the bank, but you certainly can look at these numbers and draw some trends or get some indications from the numbers as to how the city of Morro Bay is performing in relationship to our competitors north and south of us and to the entire state of California. Any questions or comments on that piece?
I think that's just really good information. Again, we know Smith Travel's a little skewed, but I think something to point out, too, is Morro Bay kind of had the most room to grow also. Just to point out, we had the lowest ADR, we had the lowest occupancy, we were at the lowest of everything.
Yeah, we're getting market share.
Right, so it's really nice to see our numbers so high and to show the growth so high. But I do want to point out we had
the biggest gap to close, and we are gaining market share. And I think this reflects it. We're getting market share in ADR, in RevPAR, in occupancy, right across the board. Even though there's new inventory going in other places, we continue to show strong growth. It'll be interesting to see when the next 2,000 rooms come on board here. It seems like it's 2,000. It seems like Paso is growing at the rate of Vegas in terms of rooms. But, you know, it's going to be interesting when Atascadero has their new hotel open and finally, and Paso Robles gets their new product on, and then San Luis gets their new product on. When that all comes about in the next 18 months, it's going to be interesting to watch where Morro Bay falls in, because we have no new product charted in our community, and there's not a lot of space for any new product, and the only thing that we can do is renew the current product that we have. And I'm sitting next to two hoteliers who are doing that right now, and going through the renovation process, and that's where our growth is. It's very incremental and kind of organic within the footprint that we have.
Yeah, I think it's all good about what we have. Is it's like we have to have a good product, of course, and good weather. We're going to have ocean always, so I think at Atascadero, doesn't matter how many rooms they're going to bring, I think the project is pretty much on hold right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be nice. I don't think so we should be even worried about having SLO or PASA growing. It's just a matter of even. I think I've been seeing it last 4 years, even all the wine harvesting season and what is it, wine festival, does mm-hmm. keeps us busy.
Yeah.
It's one of our busiest week in during even summer when there's a fair in Paso. People love to come.
Oh, yeah.
To stay in Morro Bay. It's peaceful, quiet, and it's always nice to be by the beach. So, yeah.
Yeah, they want to go to Paso at 4 p.m. and see the concert when it cools down, but they want to be in. They don't come from Fresno and Los Angeles and the San Fernando Valley where it's 117 to come and have it be 117.
In fact, this year during holidays, during Thanksgiving and Christmas, I was kind of had to work most of the days, and I was talking to so many people with the family in Templeton, in Atascadero or somewhere in that area, and people ended up staying at the hotels in Morro Bay just because they thought, you know, we come from Fresno. I was talking to a couple of guests. They said, I don't want to leave there. You know, we don't see this. We want to feel the fresh air in Morro Bay. I want to eat, you know, the fresh fish.
Well, would really draw, because same thing. I was at the, we had a lot of people say, is there something going on? Is there anything to do? What can we do? And, you know, we just kind of had to tell them about restaurants. But to have an event, I think, would be something, you know, if maybe the 4th and could come up with some kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to push people on the 4th, but...
You didn't direct them to the holiday happenings page at morrobay.org? There was tons. That was the one thing that was really interesting talking to hoteliers. They're like, well, we didn't really know what was going on for the holidays. I'm like, guys, the organization kept updating that holiday page. There were tons of things going on for New Year's Eve. There were things going on during Christmas. Churches were doing things. Concerts were going on. We just kept updating that thing, and people were just enjoying the holidays in Morro Bay. We just have to work a little bit more on the decoration, you know, putting the icing on the cake on that one.
And that's the thing that's unique about Morro Bay, Brent, is you kept updating that holidays happening page through the Bureau, and there were all these things going on. There were all these small kind of incremental things, concerts at the church, kids choir, you know, the Chablis had an event. There was stuff going on surrounding the night of the lighted boat parade, and there were all these smaller things, but that's what Morro Bay is. We have these things where, you know, 40 people show up, and it gives the guests the opportunity to meet the locals and see the people who actually, you know, live here and do this stuff and, you know, meet the little kids in the choir and all those kinds of things. It's different than saying, well, you know, we did have something going on, and it was a huge nutcracker at the PAC. I mean, we don't they are those events, but they're not on that scale. But Morro Bay is just, we're not on that. That's not our scale anyhow. So
I do want to piggyback off on a point that, Amit, you talked about that could be an opportunity for us. We did a little bit of marketing on this through our email marketing. You know, don't let the holidays turn ugly. We had a picture of, like, the ugly Christmas sweater type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, have family and friends stay in a hotel type of situation. When I worked in Minneapolis, we did a local campaign that reached out to people and saying, think about how many, you know, the houses in Morro Bay and surrounding areas. There aren't a lot of places for guests to always stay. So, you know, perhaps this next year we can do some local advertising to gear people to have their family and friends stay in hotels.
See, another thing was it was all last minute. This whole week was so busy that you can't even think of what's going on, what you want to say, where to find, being honest. Like, I close my computer in the evening, let's say 10. I locked my office. I have like 14 rooms open tomorrow. I wake up and I'm overbooked by 1. And by evening, there is no room in Morro Bay, like no room. I remember one night getting overbooked with some reason and helping guests to finding rooms. I was so surprised. Month of December, I mean, of course, our rates are a lot lower than what we usually rent it for during busy time. So that's what I was thinking now. Maybe we can get at least $10, $15 higher rate. Would be really nice.
I think a good point for that local thing is to also, like you were, Amit was saying, local to Paso and Atascadero, because a lot of people will come and visit their family there, but they don't mind the drive over. They want to stay in Morro Bay, and then the family comes here. They have lunch in Morro Bay. Half the family's here, and then half the family's over there. So I think, you know, when we're looking into that for next year, we need to remember it's not just Morro Bay, but it's our little aunts.
Regional
Los Osos. I mean, we have more population in Los Osos than in Morro Bay. Mm-hmm. I know my family all stays in Morro Bay, of course they do.
Yeah, lots of us. And one other thing, I think maybe we can try about sometime in September or every event what we have it, maybe being a part of TB, helping and supporting all the events we do in turn or in return, let's say we should get like one kind of booth in each and every event where it's like our TB booth, like any one person can sit there, and all we want to do is market what we're going to do in December or in November or in October. Have the hotels go, or just people know that, oh, you know, in Christmas, if, you know, you want to be here, this is what we are doing it, or we're going to have fireworks this year. So they might think, oh, you know, we want to come back. So we want to just market strictly future, not for that day or what we're going to do, but either next month or month after or for rest of the year.
Yeah.
Or I think we can just put a table in which has information about it, let people, you know, say, oh, this is what we do.
Yeah, if 4th of July does fireworks this year, and I don't know if they're going to, what their plan is, but if there's a 4th of July fireworks show, and if there's a New Year's fireworks show planned that far out, that's, an obvious place for marketing it. So good points.
I did want to highlight, too, I know that we're, this is a really great conversation, by the way.
Yeah, we have to get back on topic. Yeah. Sorry.
Just a reminder to properties that if you cannot accommodate a guest and the visitor center is open, that's what we do, the vacancy report.
Encapsulate this and move on to the next topic. Is everybody happy with that?
So yes.
Thank you, John. We will accept the quarterly TOT report and the regular TOT review. The quarterly falls under that for file. And we will move on to item number 6, the executive directors and staff report, the monthly marketing and operational update, including trolley report and annual calendar update. Whew. And for that, I will turn it over to our executive director, Brent.
I know, this is actually going to be fairly quick because I've been kind of wordy throughout this. All of you guys have received the report. You can see that, you know, as far as like visitors for Visitor Center, it is slowing down. The month of December, we were under 1,000 for the first time. Since I've actually been working with the Bureau. You know, the number of leads, we are seeing a little bit of a decline with that, but we were working on a number of different promotions. So, you know, hopefully from the promotions that we've been doing, like with the holiday season, when you are seeing an uptick, I'm hoping that part of that is due to all of the activities that we've been doing for the holiday season. Jasmine has been working very diligently. She completed the stuffing of the bags, not for girlfriend getaways. That is an error. My apologies on that. It's for the Free Gift Fridays. We had some good positive feedback on that. As far as like from businesses, we didn't have a lot of redemptions, but we're going to be looking at how to change that in the future. You can kind of see some of the other highlights here. I've been actually having Jasmine work a lot on calendar for Westways Magazine, which is through AAA. Their lead time is actually very far in advance, so really trying to help and market promote events that are coming up in the next 4 to 5 months. We've also had opportunities to take advantage of the Visit Slo County calendar, so we've been keeping that up to date along with our promotions. New Times is definitely a place where a lot of people look at what they can do here in Morro Bay, KSBY, and then also CCTC, which is the Central Coast Tourism Council. There's some opportunities for us to be able to market and promote there. Jasmine has been attending some of the different booster meetings. We definitely want to try to connect with the high school and all of the different high school groups. There's some definite opportunities on how we can assist with our free services, as well as the groups that are coming into Morro Bay as well. We don't want them to stay elsewhere. We want them to stay right here when there's different competitions, tournaments, and events that are happening. As you can see here, again, very, very busy. We're working on trying to reach out to different groups for business purposes, a lot of different hobby groups, etc. It was a recommendation last month from Joan Solu on reaching out to Cal Soccer. They don't actually have anything coming up in Morro Bay in the next few months, but we're going to kind of keep an eye on that as well as with the high school. Sharon definitely has been a great asset in helping support us in our endeavors for different promotions. You know, she's definitely kind of the person who puts the pedal to the metal and gets out there when we have different promotions, because not everybody is an email person, so oftentimes she's, you know, distributing different promotional opportunities for local businesses and having some face-to-face conversations, and we are seeing an uptick with that. So lastly, I did have her start posting Girlfriend Getaway posters. January is Girlfriend Getaway Month here, along with Restaurant Month in Morro Bay. As far as sales, Cuesta College Sports, there's going to be some things going coming down the pipeline on that. There's some opportunities on sponsorship, and we do have some properties that are already sponsoring. We definitely want to connect with those properties to make sure that we're not stepping on any toes, but there are some really phenomenal opportunities to continue to work with Cuesta. We're also working with different tour operators, different hobby markets. As far as the trolley, this was actually a report provided by Janine Burlingame, who is with the City of Morro Bay. What you want to look at is actually the last column, the total redemption of passes that they collected equaled 195. Now, just to highlight too, this is not all of the passes, because not everybody who actually had a pass redeemed the pass. Drivers didn't always collect the pass. So these numbers are on the conservative side as far as like the sponsorship. But our sponsorship for 2014 was $3,500, and that actually allowed any guest that was staying...
Tracking correctly.
Right.
So the number of returned passes is 27, and in those 27, we had 195 riders. Is that correct?
No. The total number of riders for the whole season was 195 passes were actually collected from the drivers. So if you take 195 times 3, gives you the 585 number.
Okay, because it looks different when it reads number of riders for returned passes. It looks like the returned passes was 27 and the total number of riders was 195. But
no,
what you're saying now
it's actually more because each of those are the months that were collected, and some were actually collected if you look at the number of passes returned, mm-hmm. and then you look at the number of riders of return passes, mm-hmm. There's a little bit of confusion there, but total number of passes that were actually collected were in the season was 195. I confirmed that with Janine. So essentially, again, when we look at the number of riders, the median number is about 3. We typically, again, didn't have a single... There weren't a lot of single riders that were going on there. We had actually a lot of families that ranged, you know, 4 or 5 people. And again, not all passes were specifically collected. So this is something that, you know, we're going to have to look at as we're looking at this next year, if this is something that we want to continue to sponsor and have as an amenity for guests. And I really have to reach out to the lodging partners that are on the board here to get your guys' feedback. And so any thoughts as far as like the trolley sponsorship?
I just wish we could do something about the route. Because it's so long and winding, I think that people want to jump on it to make the connection between the Embarcadero, the Rock, and downtown. And no, now Nick, plug your ears. But in order to get downtown, sometimes they have to jet out to North Morro Bay and then come back, and I'm talking about tourists, not locals, but then we want them to be able to grab. I just wish there were a quicker link between North Morro Bay and, you know, if there was, I don't know, I'm not the trolley route person, but if we could get a trolley that just went out and grabbed folks and then connected quickly, I don't know, from, yeah. Yes, I am going to pull you individually. Sorry about that, John Myers. Should I start it? Well, let's start with... Go ahead. Start with Nick.
I just have a quick question, because I don't know a whole lot about this, but is there a... Were the guests picked up at individual hotels, or did they have to go to a spot to pick it up? Yeah. All right.
I have a bunch of two cents on this one. Okay. So, first off, I thought it was a really great program. That we really tried to push it with our guests. A lot of it had to deal with the frontline being educated about what was going on. When I found I had a new desk person, the passes got put to the side and guests not informed of it. So it was definitely, I think, an education. I think next year we need to do a little better job of educating the frontline staff. So that's kind of thing one. The biggest complaint we had is it was really confusing because the routes didn't go 7 days a week. They were only Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So then you get the guests or you get the frontline staff all excited and they're ready to push it, and then they realize, oh shit, I'm pushing it on a Monday. Or shoot. Sorry, that's my bad word. Sorry. Yeah, thanks. My kids are going to, I owe them money. That's my bad word in the house, and I have to pay them every time I say that. So hopefully they're not watching. They're in school. We're good. So anyhow, so that was in my mind, the trolley should be running 7 days a week, and it should just be there. I get it's an expense. I understand it costs money. But in my mind, you either do it, and you do it all and put your legs in and you go it, or you don't do it at all, because that was the, and we had the complaints from the customers too. They're like, we rode the trolley yesterday, why can't we catch it today? And I'm like, sorry, it's Monday. Like, during the summer, I have people come to me like, what day of the week is it? They don't know what day of the week it is. It's summer. They're on vacation. So that was really hard. And then another thing is, I think maybe we could make it a little simpler, because you've got these passes, and if you run out, you're getting a hold of the bureau. Like, it would be nice just to have, like, maybe a special token for the hoteliers. Maybe they're given a gold token, and then that way you hand out that was a little cumbersome, the whole pass thing and punch cards, and I know we're trying to track it, so I know we were trying to do it for tracking purposes. But that also, it becomes, when the staff at the desk, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, when they have to work, it's hard for, and don't get me wrong, they work, but when they have to think real hard about what they're doing and put it all, it makes it that much harder for them to push it. So that was those were my two cents a little bit on it. I think it was a great program. Me, personally, just me, I would redo it again, because I think the first year is always where you learn a lot.
Because all those coupons and stuff, I mean, to me, I had it stacked right on the counter, and, you know, like, we put it down on the counter, then, like, all of a sudden, oh, is there a trolley or something? Then we'll put it up back again, and, you know, it's going on. Otherwise, all they would say is, hey, it's a free trolley, so just catch trolley wherever you see it, you know, wave a hand and just stop them and just hop in the trolley and just ride it. I mean, that's what most of the part we did it, or I had to tell my employee to do, because my employee, he does ride every Sunday to come to work from May till the trolley runs, and now he says he can't because of no trolley, so I think it's a good idea.
So, John, are you there?
Yeah.
Your turn.
Can you hear me? Brent, on the writer's, parentheses, driver account of 2354, is that's the total number of people that rode the trolley over the...
That I do need to confirm specifically with Janine.
That's my question, too.
This report wasn't exactly the easiest to try to track, but my guess is that they had more than 2,300 for the season, but I could definitely confirm that and send that out to the board. I would just need to confirm with her.
I sort of agree with Michelle that, to me, this intuitively seems like it should really be a good idea. But then I'm kind of agreeing, I think, with Joan and Amit that something is wrong with the trolley. If, you know, we're averaging, in our biggest month, July, we're averaging 50 passengers per day, you know, six per hour. You can't justify putting a trolley on the street to move six people around every hour. So what that's telling me is there's a core problem with the trolley service, and maybe it's what has been said here. Maybe it's the scheduling, or maybe it's the routes, or, you know, this. It sounds to me like further support from our side next year is going to require a re-engineering of the whole way this trolley service is delivered. Or the trolley service just deserves to die a quick and, you know, a swift death. you know, 50 people a day in our biggest month, 6 people an hour, is ridiculous. And then it seems, you know, it just seems to me that the results we've had from people in our properties trying to write it has been underimpressive, and maybe that's just reflective of the same reason that there's some core problems in the trolley service itself. I'm trying to figure out how to, what to get out of these numbers, and that's what the numbers and comments I'm hearing are reading to me. I don't have a solution, but I intuitively I'd like to see this thing get supported going forward, but boy, I can't go and support this thing for another nickel if this is the kind of result we get. Is it that, that's basically my comment.
Great. Thank you. I think that's very insightful. I think you you hit the nail on the head. I'd like to make some comment on this as well. You know, I think that $6 roughly per rider is a very high expense. I know that what we were trying to do was get folks to come back, so we did have some incremental advertising that went on, some signs and stuff. But, you know, honestly, if we were running an ad with, you know, Westways Magazine and Brent came back and said, well, you know, we paid $6 a click there, I think we would really reexamine what we were doing at $6 a click. I mean, I would hope that we would, right? we paid $6 a click. We would be thinking in terms of advertising, which is what we're supposed to be doing. Besides providing a benefit to the hoteliers, we're also supposed to be advertising to compress the market. I think when we look at the whole picture of this and we look at the $6 a click or $6 a rider, you know, it now takes on a new context. I tend to lean towards John Meyer's comments and Michelle's comment about, you know, Saturday is one schedule, Sunday's another, Monday's got a third, you know, Monday through Friday. I'm going to be honest. As a consumer, I don't really care what day of the week it is. From June to September, Monday is a Saturday. This town is so busy that Monday is Saturday in July. Thursday is Friday in July, because the town is running at 100% practically capacity every day in those months, at least 85% between June and the end of August. So Wednesday is Saturday, and Wednesday should have Saturday's schedule. It should be as accessible on Wednesday as it is on Saturday. The other thing is, you know, it's interesting to pin. Now it's time to really look at what we want to do to make the program accountable. But I've got to say, you know, if we're doing 6 riders an hour in July, or I know it's probably 10 riders an hour in July and 6 in June and 6 in August, but overall, if we're averaging 6 to 8 riders an hour in July, you know, maybe we look at the trolley system and the 3 trolleys become, I hate to say this, parked and part of our park system as an attraction rather than a form of ridership. Sorry to your employee, Amit. But maybe I can pick him up and give him a ride on Sundays. Okay, yeah. He pays $1. So then, you know, when you look at that, so just overall, I think, you know, we've herded the cat, but trolley ridership is alarming if it's 2,300. And I do hope that you can work with Janine to come back and bring us back a solid number where we can understand whether it's 2,300 or whether there's a zero that needs to be added on the end of that. Because we're talking about, you know, every year we know that there's almost 800,000 people who visit the Embarcadero. Let's think about that number. There's almost 800,000 visitors, including locals, to the Embarcadero every year. If we're only capturing 2,300 of them onto the trolley to move them around to the other parts of town, there is something failing in the system, and we have to look at that. So that's my big concern, is the overall now, the overall scope of it. It takes it out of the scope of what we do. Our scope is to market on the trolley and provide a benefit to our hoteliers, so we need to look at whether the overall scope of the trolley is going to be able to do that in terms of what we're doing. So I think, Brent, terrific report. It really got some conversation going. I hope that City Council listens to that conversation. I know they're coming up on their budget process and can take a look at how to maybe revamp that trolley system and get some more of those 800,000 riders up to North Morro Bay on it in a quick way. And then maybe, Brent, what I'm hearing from the group here is that we'd like Brent to maybe reach out to Janine and see if that number specifically that made us all kind of have bells go off is the actual number, and then bring that back to us, and then talk about some ways where if we want to adopt this plan, again, this next season, where we can do it in a little bit easier manner that that doesn't take, you know, such an aside. Something can be done maybe with the process that we've talked about, room keys, stickers, some of these other things, and simplify the process a little so that we do get some more riders on it. And then possibly some more stops in front of key hotel corner locations, because that's what it's sounding like to me to get. I know there's a stop right by the Days Inn that I send people over to from the bungalow and from the Pleasant Inn. And I know that those stops have to be safe and that kind of thing, but I know that they're repaving some of the streets downtown, so maybe they can. Maybe this is the moment. So, and Brent, just bring that back to us with all of the positive things.
Can do.
Thank you.
Thank you for the feedback. It's very helpful.
Yeah. And then regarding the rest of the executive director's report, besides the trolley thing, which we have really focused on, does anybody have any questions for Brent? I'll start with John. John Myers, do you have any questions for Brent?
No, actually, as usual, good report. Thank you, Brent.
Okay. Nick?
No questions, as
it's
usual.
Not,
great
it's not
report.
Done yet.
Oh, he's not done yet.
Yeah, the ED Wait, report is just begun.
Good so
we,
far,
we got fixated on the trolley. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brent. Continue on.
So with marketing, you know, the San Francisco Chronicle special section actually just came out on January 4th. We had four participating lodging partners. Actually, two of the lodging partners have already received bookings based off of the off of their special that they had paid for. That was within the advertorial. The billboard, thankfully, is done. Just to let you guys know, we have a few events that are interested in doing some advertising on the billboard. They're actually going back to their boards kind of at this moment. Again, we did the 30-second Morro Bay commercial. That will actually be ending at the end of this month. And that was Bakersfield Theater kind of doing it during the holiday season. So hopefully that we were able to, you know, capture some of those individuals. I do want to, now that we are at the digital advertising program, I do want to have you guys take a look at the reports that I had provided to give kudos to our previous agency. Some of the recommendations that they had given the Bureau was really around search engine, you know, optimizing the site. And a lot of, even though it didn't happen under their management, you know, and the experience that I had in working in destination marketing prior to coming to Morro Bay, there were a lot of things that weren't accomplished with the website. 90% of the restaurants, retail, attractions had no descriptions, no photos, no links, no information. And that's SEO 101. So we really had to work hard on getting that up to date. There were a lot of businesses that were not listed. There were a lot of businesses that had went out of business that were still listed on the site. So our site really wasn't relevant to the people who were coming to the site. And we also found that with the mobile site as well. The mobile site was so outdated with the information that had to be completely updated as well. Websites are only as good about with the information that you actually have on there, and that's going to be relevant to the people who are coming onto your site. What we're finding with some of the promotions that we're doing, we're really understanding a little bit more about what our customer or the people who are actually coming to the site and on social media, what's that stickiness? What are they really, responding positively to? And it's been a great education to be able to do these little short-term promotions and really understanding what is it that people who love Morro Bay, because we have a great following for Morro Bay, what is it that they look at Morro Bay? How do they look at our destination? And what's resonating with them? You know, we tried to do the promotion Engage the Rock. Well, that didn't really work all that well. But thanks to one of our board members, Michelle, you gave a recommendation in saying, how about collecting photos from people? People are always submitting, beautiful scenery photos of Morro Bay. We are doing a photo contest right now. And one of those photos will actually be featured on the cover of the new visitor guide. This is what people are really excited about. They're excited about sharing their experience with us. When they look at Morro Bay, they don't look at Morro Bay as being a city. It almost seems like that people look at Morro Bay as having its own distinct personality, like it's a person. They love Morro Bay. They have feelings towards Morro Bay, and it's actually very interesting because when we're looking at, again, with some of the promotions, and I know I'm getting a little bit long-winded here, but again, it's interesting on what's resonating with the people who actually come onto the website, who respond to the email marketing that we're doing and the social media, that there's a lot of repeat customers. I've heard that through the listening sessions from the properties, but that's very common in all of the rest of the marketing that we're doing. There is a loyal following to Morro Bay, and we don't want to lose that loyal following. So we're really trying to pay attention to what's resonating with that loyal following and to really capitalize on that. And so I think you can definitely see that with web stats. You can see that with social media. Some of the things that I have talked to Verdin about is some of our other digital advertising. TripAdvisor still continues to be very strong for us, but we still have to figure out, that's the one thing that we haven't figured out yet 100%, is how to use digital marketing to capture that loyal following or to bring in some new people. What is resonating? So we continue to change what we're doing in digital marketing because we haven't specifically found that magic formula yet. But we're still, it's almost like we're in a lab and we continue to tweak it until we know, and there's some areas, that we're reaching out to that has been very successful, and we're trying to reach out to new markets. But we haven't been as successful in those markets, but we haven't figured out what's that stickiness with that specific audience, because we can't assume that everybody's coming to Morro Bay or going to be interested in Morro Bay for all the same reasons. So we continue to be in this creative lab and trying to figure out how do we reach out to the people in Santa Cruz? People in Santa Cruz are going to respond differently than people in Fresno, are going to respond differently than people in Santa Cruz.
I think that's what I got from what you were saying. I think part of it is who are using these, these handheld devices, and I think it's more the millennials and that 25 to, 40 whatever age group. Yeah, maybe. But I, like someone for myself, I just not recently, but I've just within the last year did, get an iPhone, and I'm kind of learning how to use it. But I think, my kids have already had them, and they're, in their 20s. So I think that younger range of customer that are everything's on their phone. They do have money, but you know, trying to find that, because, you know, I think we get a fair amount of families, we get a lot of older guests as well that maybe don't use those devices or just like myself starting to use them, but there's a whole demographic that I think that's where we're missing a little bit right now, because they're, everything's on their phone and they have money to spend, it's where they're going to go, but I think that as that group will continue to grow and get bigger.
Well, statistics actually are... All right, now I'm going to geek out a little bit here, because I do love the analytics, and I do love looking at statistics when it... You have to look at all of those things to see if what you're doing is actually working, and is it making sense? Are we reaching out to the right audience? The majority of the audience that's actually coming to morrobay.org, you know, the general site as well as the mobile site, is 25 to 44. Mm-hmm. That's the people who are actually coming on to morrobay.org. We do have 18 to 24, which is actually, it's a good number, mm-hmm. but really our core people are from 25 to 44. Mm-hmm. And it's actually 25 to 34 is the biggest group.
Those are parents. Wow.
And those are parents. Mm-hmm. And those are the families. And those are the people that we're actually seeing coming on a fairly regular basis to morrobay. And we just have to really figure out, like, the other part is, too. I mean, I come from major metropolitan areas, I've been in the digital world for a long time. I respond very well. It's not the same here. Yeah. Not everybody is on. That's the reason why a lot of people love the natural features of morrobay. They're not continually on their phone, and they're not continually on their computer, and that's why we always have to keep a good mix of, you know, different vehicles that we're, you know, how we're reaching out. But John Myers had actually talked to me a little bit about, you know, Mitt, I want to kind of talk a little bit about John recently saw a piece of collateral that Hearst Castle had, and all of the cities were actually on this map except for morrobay. Mm. And that's something that we have to make sure that we're staying on top of, because we can miss out on opportunities, because if you're not in the loop and you're not in the printing, they're printing things for a full calendar year, and we always have to make sure that we're staying on top of mind, because people are actually traveling to Hearst Castle and they're enjoying that, but they're also traveling like up Highway 1. And so it's just really a matter of capturing that audience. But it looks like you have a comment. Oh, okay.
John, do you have a comment? Because I have a couple on digital marketing. But go ahead if you have something.
No. I'm just listening.
Okay. I have a couple. First, let me touch on the piece of fulfillment that did not include morrobay. That is produced by the county CBID. And you and I have discussed this piece of collateral before. I'm assuming it was the
This is the one through Hearst Castle.
It's
distributed through Hearst Castle
by state parks. Wow.
John.
Yes.
It's actually the tickets Helen and I bought at the Community Foundation dinner. It was the collateral that was handed out with the tickets for Hearst Castle.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I know exactly what was in that package.
Yeah, I knew you would.
I laid it out on the table, so yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you for that, because and I'm sure Brent's on top of it,
yeah.
Because that's the state of California, and that's taxpayer dollars, and they have to represent our community, and so they should be including us, and I'm sure, you know, through Visit California and through California State Parks that we'll be able to get that issue resolved quickly.
Exactly.
Quickly, right? Government, quickly, right? and then I wanted to touch a little bit on the age group demographic as we talk about,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that 25 to 34-year-old age group. That, you know, they're traveling with families, young families, coming here, discovering morrobay, and you know, they love that morrobay cell phones are smart. And, you know, I look in the grocery cart at the mom in the grocery store, and the kid is quiet, and he's 18 months old, and he's on the smartphone, you know, and he's wheeling down the aisle. So it is integrated almost into the palm of the hand of our society, specifically in America, I think more so than most places, but also with foreign travelers, because the sites, through Google and through so many other sources, automatically translate into their own language. And so it's an easy way for them to travel and get travel information. And it's an integrated into the travel system now. And so whatever we do, and I know, you know, we all know that here Brent is looking internally, the Tourism Bureau is looking at our website and updating it and doing some changes to it and looking at who, you know, how we outsource it, what we're doing with it. And, you know, as we go through that, we've talked, just for the general public, we've talked internally about a site that will be integrated into a small screen format on an Android or an iPhone or, you know, a tablet, and be also to transform, because TVs are wireless now and people can pull up our website on their 62-inch TV. And so it needs to populate itself to all of our social media all at once. And it is it's like having a lot of gears inside of a box and trying to make sure that the gears match up so that the machine turns on when you flip the switch. If one gear is out of place, then you're not fulfilling on the marketing dollars that we're spending. Because everything we do, practically, is guided back to our webpage to push into our destination. So it's becoming increasingly more important for Brent to analyze that information, give his best findings to us, and for us to try and move forward with a plan.
Here's the other interesting part that's not, statistically, it's not common about who is actually going on to morrobay.org with other destinations. Close to 55% of the audience is male, not female, and that's not common. It's typically usually a 60-40 mix. 60% is typically female, 40% is typically male. But because we have a lot of recreation that appeals the adventure, and I'm not trying to be sexist here, but we have a destination that greatly appeals to the male population, not just to the female population. So you have this 54, 55, 45 percent that's going on, which is pretty spectacular for a destination. You can't say that for every single destination. But Amit, I know you were moving up to the mic, so...
I was just saying it, you know, but now with the smartphones and all this app, it doesn't matter the age group, because, I mean, it might be funny, but I just have 88-year-old customer texted me and were trying to, calling me, and I'm like, what's going on? You know, are you pocket dialing me? What's going on? And she's like, no, I just bought a smartphone now, and I'm trying to add your number, and I need some pictures of your son. I want to see it, you know. They're like a family, but I'm just saying it, and... Now I do see, like, so many guests walks in, and before, I used to get personally irritated with, like, before even you do check-in, you need to give them Wi-Fi code. But then that used to be with the kids, but now, like, literally, adult will, like, put your phone right on your face and say, password, you know, for the Wi-Fi. Yeah. So users are getting, you know, it is increasing,
like... Now, this is a really huge opportunity, and when we're talking about this, and this isn't really about the ED report, but I'm going to bring it in right now. We have a city manager, and we have an economic development plan that's very interested in technology, you know, and there's some opportunities for Morro Bay. And that's something, too, as we're looking at how people are gathering their information and they're using smartphones and tablets a lot more than what they did in the past. There's some definite opportunities for the city, and it sounds like that there perhaps in the future could be some opportunities that the city is going to bring to the forefront that's going to benefit not just residents and businesses, but it's also going to definitely benefit visitors. Joan, did you have any other things on digital? Otherwise, I will move along, because...
I think Michelle has something, but one thing I wanted to say is, did we ever figure out, we discussed here the article on National Geographic that continues to push people back to our website?
It does. It's actually on the top referring sites.
Right.
It is the Third one down.
Because that article was written like 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and remains on that National Geographic site. And to get that kind of play
about as a collective group for the county, and how are we going to get the big hitters, especially in media here? We can get kind of the mid-size, and sometimes we can get the knock 'em out of the park type of media here, which we get some great press, but we really have to start looking at how do we focus on getting those heavy hitters, like how do we get National Geographic to come back? Because we can invite them to come back, but they're going to want to do something a little bit more. And that's actually even broadening the scope and working with Visit California, working with San Francisco and LA, and how to get them in. But it has to be something new and different that's going to be appealing to the readers. What's going to be hot? What's hot right now? I mean, how do we capture the natural part of Morro Bay, and what's going to be a little bit different? I mean, I would love to see somebody from National Geographic coming in and doing some kayak fishing. You don't see that a lot in the media, and there's actually some groups that do that on a regular basis up and down the Central Coast. So it's just really finding what is going to be appealing and what's going to be new and what do they see as being trends. So it's really about looking ahead, like what's coming up.
My only comment was going to be when you said 25 to 44, yes, I think a lot of it's families. We get a lot of the adventurers. I can't tell you how many couples we get. You know, they're 27, 28, you know, just married or about to be married, and they go out and they go kayaking or stand up paddling or go hiking. So I think we forget about all of those natural beauties we have here too, which hence backs into the male thing, but I just wanted to point that out. I think it is families, but it's not just families. And a lot of those people will travel. They don't have kids yet, so they'll travel in those off-season times when we really need that help. So I think that's a really good thing for that niche marketing that I always...
And I want to piggyback off of that, Michelle, because, again, we're like in this creative lab, and that's... I love it. I just love it. So we had Morro Bay as being the resolution destination. You can come and you can get fit, you can get healthy, you can lose weight if you want to, but you can have a fun time doing it. You don't have to, and gyms are really great. I'm not saying that gyms are bad, but sometimes people want to start their resolution on doing something new, something different, maybe something that's always been on their bucket list. We pinned to the top, and when I say pinned to the top on Facebook, on your Facebook page, you can actually pin a post that it stays at the very top. We had the resolution destination pinned to the top for 3 days, and it went from 100 likes to over 1,200 likes. That says something about Morro Bay. We pinned to the top other things, and it didn't increase as rapidly as what the recreation activities here. And it's accessible. You don't have to be mountain woman or man to be able to enjoy those things, because people do come here for leisurely recreation. You can get into a kayak and paddle the bay and really have a leisurely day. But I imagine we do probably need to move on since...
We do need to move on. I have one little thing that was on my list to tap on, which was we were talking about families and family visits and those kinds of things, and although they are not our core segment, one of the rich things about a high school basketball game or any basketball game or any football game is that you not only get the parents out there, you get, in large part, in small towns, you get the whole community, like Shafter or places like that. And so you get grandparents, too, who travel. Have we ever, I know we do local sponsorships, like we're talking about Cuesta College because the people arrive here, but have we ever looked at sponsoring the stadium banners or any of that, like in Sanger at Sanger High or, you know, where we're saying, okay, you know, great, Friday night's over, now Saturday and Sunday, enjoy Morro Bay or any of that kind of stuff?
It's definitely something to take a look at, Joan. It's not uncommon for destinations to look at who is really kind of a core audience and a loyal audience that you definitely want to stay in front of their faces. So it's definitely something that we should be talking about, because advertising sponsorships can be a really great way to get in front of audiences to remind them that you exist. and also to be able to inspire them to come and travel, mm-hmm. because they might say that they love Morro Bay, but when's the last time have they been here?
Right.
So it's really, right. you really thought about it. So you really have to kind of keep top of mind. And a lot of times looking at different alumni associations are a really great way to stay on top of that, because you have a loyalty following for colleges, and you know, especially when we are looking at alumni associations, so you tap into they're already loyal to that specific group, now get them to become loyal for Morro Bay. But and I do want to really highlight on this one, for a lot of the recreation, we have what calorie burns, you know, an average calorie burn that when you're going kayaking or hiking or biking. So there's a lot of really great information on there. We're still developing some of these pages, but we have biking, kayaking, hiking, surfing, stand-up paddleboarding. We have a lot of different of the recreational things that you can do right here in Morro Bay. That gives you some great information, and it also talks a little bit about how many calories that you burn and what muscles that you're using, etc. So definitely take a look at that. We're always updating the calendar of events, the holiday happenings. We had some great and last-minute things that came in prior to New Year's Eve, and then obviously lodging specials. I would encourage our lodging. We don't have a lot of romance packages and Valentine's packages, so get those in. People are booking now. We only have about 3 that are on the website right now, so definitely get those in. For media and public relations, December was a little bit on the slow end, but we did. We hosted Sarah Liss with About.com, so looks like we're going to get some good coverage with her. Media and public relations that we actually had featured of Morro Bay in December, Life by the Rock. Liz Campbell was somebody that we hosted. Treasures of California Central Coast along Highway 1, Gerald Bruner with Parade Magazine. We did host her as well in April when I first started. December 17th, Morro Bay, California Gives Girlfriend Getaways. That was a press release that we, our PR agency, had sent out. And then rocking around the Morro Bay Rock at Anderson Inn was, this wasn't somebody that we specifically hosted, but she did feature a little bit on the destination here. Outreach and communications, I'm not going to go through too much here, but with the event grant funding, we've done some email marketing, noticed went out to residents via the city, and then we did some direct mail with that. The deadline to submit grant applications for event grant funding is January 30th. billboard advertising, as I stated before, we have 2 events that are interested in promoting their events on the billboard. Art in the Park is interested, as well as the Emergency Vehicle Show. So we're having conversations, and they're having conversations with their committees and boards right now. As far as like 2015 visitor guide advertising, we have over 1,500. As of yesterday, we're at about $2,200 sold. Our goal is 8,000 at this point in time. Promotion update, talked a little bit about the cover photo contest. We have not 30 entries as of this morning. We're actually over 60 entries of photos that have come in. I've been actually going on different social media websites and business websites and posting, hey, submit your photos, because we have a lot of businesses that people will submit really some beautiful scenery shots. iBrochure talked a little bit about that. We'll be repeating that. I'm going to kind of funnel through this. The cruise into Morro Bay, the direct mail wasn't what I would say. We haven't had a lot of redemptions. We actually have had 0 redemptions. I hate to say that, but we've had actually some good responses via our email marketing. So the car clubs, we have been reaching out to them on a more consumer standpoint. And so, you know, sometimes when a promotion doesn't exactly hit a home run, you always like you tweak it and make it work. So we've actually had some really great responses and feedback as far as like the events that are coming up for Morro Bay. So even if people aren't redeeming this specifically the The coupon, we are still marketing out, you know, we're doing marketing outreach to those individuals and groups. Free Gift Fridays, kind of mentioned a little bit about that. We've had some positive response from properties. We have had positive response from businesses, not specifically on things being redeemed, but we reached out to the partners that participated, and they said, hey, we'd love to participate again. We didn't have a lot of redemptions. We actually, you know, there haven't been a lot of redemptions, but it gives them a really great opportunity to be able to reach out to the people who are actually staying in the hotels. Kayak clubs, we are kind of doing this through the resolution destination. So Girlfriend Getaways, that launched in January. We've had some really good positive feedback on that. There's digital marketing campaign that's happening. With that, we're using our social media, et cetera. So I'm really very, very pleased with the business response. Go on to morrobay.org, and I do encourage our board to go on to morrobay.org. Check it out. Check out the flyer. There's a lot of cool things going for just a different type of vacation or getaway. Moving on, what's coming up? You know, there's a long list here. Some of it has been repeated from last time, but just to highlight, I will be attending the American Buses Association conference in St. Louis. Yes, I do need to bundle up because I leave on Saturday, and then I don't get back into the office until Wednesday. So right now, I currently have 14 appointments, which is a good number of appointments for us being new at Morro Bay. Being new going to this conference, I am going to be pretty persistent in walking the trade show floor because I have 10 other companies that I didn't get appointments with that I'm going to be hounding them until I can actually at least get a few minutes in front of them. We are going to be featured again in an advertorial in Good Housekeeping, Red Book, Women's Day magazines in the LA area in February. And I do want to highlight again, I'm going to bring the geek out in me. LA actually tops in statistics, in web statistics. They are at the top of the cities overall in web stats for 2014. They were the number one city.
Oh.
San Francisco was 4,000 less than LA.
Okay, hello.
LA was at 90, I think either 92 or 9400. I don't have the numbers in front of me. And then it was Central Valley.
Well, first of all, I think we're all shaking our heads because up to 5 years ago, we did not market at all in LA or San Francisco. We did, of the $60,000 that the city was using for money, only about 15% of it was used split between those two markets. And we have really tried to compress that and break into those markets. And to have those two be the leaders of the pack here,
yep.
That's giant.
It goes L.A.,
wow,
San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Fresno, Bakersfield, and then San Francisco. But we have to look at, in L.A., hustle and bustle. There's a lot more opportunity for them to get away from the hustle and bustle and to be on the water and to relax. San Francisco, there are still areas where people can actually go and they can relax and they can get on the water. So those are some things that we have to really look at when we're looking at strategic planning and how we're going to be looking at this next fiscal year and how we have to reach out and what type of messaging are we going to be doing for those markets, because we still want to hit the Bay Area. There's still opportunities in Santa Cruz Bay Area, but it's really interesting to look at LA being at the top, not Central Valley. It was at the top. So it's so interesting to me. Anyway,
that's reflected in rate, I think.
It is. But it's reflective of what people are looking for too.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
You know, and the one thing too is that as we're going down the list, the 2015 California Road Trips Cooperative, this is something that we're looking at perhaps changing. I have reached out to Visit Slo to see if we can do California Road Trips magazine as a county collective instead of just Wine Coast Country. So there's some conversations happening, but you know, with the holidays, a lot of people are actually gone. And we will be participating in IPW, which is an international trade show for tour operators. That's at the end of May, first part of June. This is something that we're doing in concert with the Central Coast Tourism Council. So that is it for my report. Any questions?
I don't have any questions. John Myers, do you have any questions?
No.
Amit?
No.
Michelle?
No, I'm good.
Nick?
No. Great job, Brent.
Yeah, great job, Brent.
It's really a collective, and I say that. Success doesn't happen alone. Success actually happens when you're with a team of people, and that really involves with staffing. It involves the business community. It involves the lodging community. It involves, you know, it involves the city. And truthfully, a lot of these successes really don't. I mean, we have great ambassadors that are out there. How do you think that Morro Bay has this great loyalty? It's about the experience that they're having here. We're not doing this alone. So, a lot of the success that we're seeing has been the investment of the board input and insight has been over like the last few years. It's been successes that our former agency has actually brought to them that we might have to tweak, change, etc. As we're moving on to the board training and strategic planning session, I will be sending out a poll, but we have to look at who are some, we almost have to wait until that poll goes out until we have the new board and the slate of officers actually selected at that time. So the poll will not happen until after we have the new board established, which will be at the end of this month. So be looking for more information on that. But we do have the strategic planning session, which will actually take place in place of the board of directors meeting here at Vets Hall. That will be held at the Bureau office from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., so please make sure that that is on your calendar. Vets Hall is not available on February 12th because it is a holiday. It is a holiday for the city, so we do not have the ability of being here at Vets Hall. So we are going to be at the Bureau office.
Okay.
So
are you moving down the agenda right now? Are we moving down?
That was the board training and strategic planning session.
We have to stop. I have to go back to the board. That's okay. Don't worry. We need to accept the directors and the staff report for file. Is there anything that anybody wants to do there? Can we have consensus to accept that? Great. Okay. John, consensus to accept that, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So then moving on to the board training and strategic planning, you're saying that go ahead and recap that for everyone.
Yes.
Because the February 12th thing is very important.
Will be the strategic planning session, and it will also include board training.
Okay.
We do have to, Madam Chair, we do have to have a short meeting, and I'm going to put that into your court, under this discussion item, because there is something that we do have to discuss and approve at the February meeting, and that is the event grant recommendations from the event grant task force. So I don't foresee that meeting being a long meeting, but I would gather at least maybe a half an hour meeting for discussion, maybe prior to the strategic planning.
And the meeting will take place at the Bureau office.
Correct.
Will
correct.
AGP be available for that?
No, we do not have to have AGP be in attendance for that, for the strategic planning session.
Okay.
We can actually, if it's desired, we can do an audio recording if need be, but I don't think that is really necessary for doing strategic planning.
Yeah, I was just talking about the other part of it, the events grants. Mm. We want to make sure that we get out there to the public, but we can do that in March, give an overview.
Exactly.
So that's fine. Great. Okay. So note, please, board, do note that February 12th from 10 to 4, which is a what day of the week?
That takes place at our regular meeting.
Yeah, thank
but,
you.
But do you want to have a meeting from 9:30 to 10 for...
To get the events over with, mm-hmm. To get the events moving, not mm-hmm. over with, but yes, absolutely, to get the events moving and make sure that we keep forward momentum on them because they need that support.
Okay.
So for sure, we'll do a quick...
And how about elections, Madam Chair? I know that's on future declaration of future agenda, so that's
next month's meeting, as we're talking about February.
Right, and I think that that can be part of the discussion in terms of board training, what each one of those job descriptions are to give knowledge to the board. So as we move it out to a future agenda item, I guess back to March would make most sense. Okay? Getting consensus on that? All right. And, okay, so Thursday, February 12th, 9:30 at the Tourism Bureau office, everyone. Bells on, or not. Okay, and so accept that, and we'll move on to item number 8.
Can we have AGP come out and with the last document to get on screen?
We'll be moving on to item number 8, the Vacation Rentals Task Force Report, an update on reporting of vacation rental policy recommendations that we would like to make as a group to the city of Morro Bay. As you know, we opened this discussion at our last meeting, and Member Myers had put together some information for us. We all took the opportunity to fire more information across the bow at Member Myers, who very nicely took it all and has done some more in-depth reporting and pulling all of it together. And for that, I will turn it over to you, Mr. Myers. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Input from myself, and so I was able to actually kind of do a pretty up document for you guys as well as the audience. We're actually looking at approaching the city with a blessing from the board and just providing this document and saying here could be some best practices. We aren't a regulation board, but this is something that could definitely help with when we're looking at the vacation rental market here in Morro Bay, and actually recommending for there to be a minimum two-night minimum stay. When we were looking at some of the data, and John, you can definitely jump in here. Some didn't have a minimum night stay. Some had a minimum of three-night stay. Some of them required a minimum night stay when it was in high season and not specifically in low season. So that's something definitely to take a look at, when you are looking at, item number A or item A. We do want to have a minimum age rental, and this is actually very consistent with some of the VRBO websites where you have to be at least 25 years of age. It is consistent, too, with as far as, like, the minimum age for somebody to rent a car, why not have it be the same thing as far as like renting a vacation rental? Signage, this was actually something that Member Solu had brought up previously. And so there were some cities that had where a notice had to be for 90 days after a business license was applied for. But prior to being granted the actual license itself. And then Member Solu had brought into play on having some permanent signage, because I think it is important for a lot of residents to understand there is a vacation rental that's right next door to me, and who do I contact if there's any issues? And so I think it was very important, too. John had brought in, having the contact information in case if there's any issues and, noise, trash, parking problems, et cetera. I think that's what's really a big sticking point with a lot of residents and why they don't want to have vacation rental next to them, because who do they contact if there are any issues? And one of the things that that's in item E, and I'm just going to skip down, is that was consistent across the board was having a good neighbor guideline brochure. This was something that they didn't really specify what those were from city to city, but I think it's definitely a fluid document based off of if there's any specific issues that are happening with vacation rentals. So it was nice to see that that was actually consistent with pretty much all of the research that I did. John, did you saw that too, the Good Neighbor Guidelines?
Yeah, absolutely. And it seemed to, in those communities where it was, the tourist-driven economies where vacation rentals are deemed to be important to the economy, it seemed to me that those communities had stronger or more visible good neighbor guidelines. They were the city, the government was stepping up to make sure that the residents, if they had issues, knew what the rules were and knew where to go in case they had issues.
And I don't think it was a matter of reinventing the wheel, because as John has pointed out with the information here, it really fits within the guidelines city has actually already established. Like, for, there's a noise ordinance here. There's, obviously with trash cans. And then, I think the one new item would be is the one on-site parking space provided for each rentable bedroom. I think that was definitely important to make sure that there was parking available. But moving up to...
Brent, just to add to that, in the in what KSBY News this morning, Michelle pointed it out that City of San Luis Obispo is allowing room rentals, and one of their requirements is on-site parking.
Right.
And that's as of yesterday.
And one of the things that Michelle also had brought up in a previous meeting was that having that business license number, I believe, Michelle, you did bring that up. Was it at last meeting?
John Myers had said that the Craigslist ads had it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was John.
And I think it is important to have the license number, because you want to make sure that if there is a vacation rental and you see an ad, you want to make sure that they are licensed. So I think that that's, it's a pretty simple thing to request. Density, limited density, really basically taking the example, John had pulled this from Slo County, maybe doing something similar as what they've done in Cambria, Cayucas, and Avila, that no new rental within 100 feet of the property line of existing rental. And then obviously in having a recent conversation in a different meeting with our city manager, bring to the city as being recommendations. And again, we aren't a regulatory organization, so these would just be recommendations, not specifically mandated. But John has pointed out that we don't have code enforcement. That is something that the city manager just talked about in a meeting yesterday. That's really important for the city. So I do have a feeling that we are going to be moving towards that in the near future for the city of Morro Bay. Don't be too surprised. Wouldn't you say, Joan, that we probably will be seeing that in the budget discussion this next round with the city. So, and I think, I think a lot of people would be very much in support of, code enforcement here in Morro Bay. And then, obviously, John, do you want to talk a little bit about the legal opinion? Because this was something that you had in your notes.
It was just the idea that if we're going to move forward with the county TMD, which includes vacation rentals and RV parks, then maybe we ought to be consistent in Morro Bay. And this picks up on our discussion a few minutes ago when we were talking about the growth, particularly on the vacation rental side. They're beginning to be a force to be reckoned with, number one. Number two, I think the vacation rentals and the RV parks should be included as part of an integral part of our overall tourism marketing program. And then those guys benefit from the marketing and advertising expenditures of this board, which is paid for by the hoteliers. It seems for those three reasons, we ought to look at bringing the hoteliers, the RV industry, and the vacation rental industry together into a common board pursuing the growth of tourism in the city of Morro Bay. And in that regard, the suggestion is that at the next go-around, when the regulation is set for this T-bid, that or for our TBID that we look at, get a legal opinion to see what we would need to do to include the vacation rentals and the RV parks in the overall TBID going forward.
Hey, John, I want to piggyback off of something that, you know, kind of the idea and philosophy that kind of behind, you know, what you just, the statement that you just said. One of the things that we have to look at as a organization is how does the visitor center, how is the visitor center going to be funded in the future? A lot of the referrals that visitor center staff, the questions that are being asked, there are a lot of vacation rental questions. When people are coming in, you know, they're looking at staying longer, a longer period of time here in Morro Bay. And so they do get asked that question quite often. And, I mean, there's a brochure that's been created for the real estate agencies that handle vacation rentals and other management companies that get distributed. We don't have a specific number of like what those are, but we do see a lot of referrals to vacation rentals from visitor center, probably more over hotels and motels here in Morro Bay. I would say the campgrounds and vacation rentals probably outweigh the referrals from, specifically with the questions that are coming from the people who are coming in those doors, because oftentimes, other individuals that are coming into the visitor center, they're already staying in a hotel motel, so they're not going to ask that question. They're asking about what they can do, where they can dine, where they can shop, etc. So I think when it's people who are coming in off of Highway 1 and they happen to be coming into Morro Bay for the day, you know, that's typically a question that they're being asked is on vacation rentals and RVs and campgrounds.
Okay. So, first of all, thank you to both Brent and John. And what I'm going to do now is open it up to the rest of the four that are up here and see if there's any questions regarding the entire report, not just concentrating on including vacation rentals and RVs into the next round of possible and into this next year of TBID, but into the report in general. Any ideas or thoughts that you might have to make as a recommendation to be included in the report, or if you think, I guess one of the big questions is that we even supply a report like this to the City Council now that you've seen the task force work. So the questions at hand are, do you have any changes or additions? Do you think that this should
move this forward and submit this to City Council? Because I think it's going to be helpful to them because they're going to have to take this whole thing up. What's that?
I think that City Council, well, I shouldn't say the whole City Council. I think there's been just some general conversation with our tourism liaison about how does vacation rentals mm-hmm. affect the tourism industry mm-hmm. here? What does it look like? Mm-hmm. We don't really have guidelines. The City Council has discussed that they want to look at those guidelines, and so I think we're just getting out in front of that and providing them with something they may be looking at us to anyhow.
So I'm for, you know, providing this as it is right here. I'm not sure about the last part because we already have vacation rentals, I believe, in this town, obviously. And if we don't have a code enforcement, then we should make them illegal. I'm not sure if that just seems a little bit harsh to me. But just to piggyback on what Brent was talking about, how the visitor center gives a lot of information out about vacation rentals. If I could ask Brent, were you suggesting that if we do decide to levy a tax on vacation rentals, would that somehow be able to fund the visitor center? Was that what you were kind of leading to? Or
it would not support 100% of the mm-hmm. funding for visitor center, but perhaps if we are looking at incorporating vacation rentals within this organization, that a portion of that mm-hmm. would actually help fund.
Okay.
Because they are asked, I mean, it's really people asking those questions.
Right.
So, I mean, when we look at how the law is, how it's been established, the money is collected has to benefit the payers.
Mm-hmm.
If less than 10% of the referrals from visitor center is for hotels, motels, mm-hmm. that's not benefiting the payers,
yeah.
specifically how the TBID mm-hmm. stands right now. But we do have information and stats that there's a lot more recommendations about campgrounds, RV parks, and vacation rentals, mm-hmm. where a portion of those dollars could actually help fund. And that's what the city is looking at, too. They're looking at future ways in how mm-hmm. a visitor center can be funded other than through general fund.
Okay.
You know, just along that line, from the work we did a while ago, which we, I think, have gotten confirmed recently, the lodging industry represents about one-third. Remember when we started to pay one-third of the cost of the visitor center, everybody agreed that about one-third of the benefit of the visitor center accrued to the lodging industry. Two-thirds went to recreation, retail, and restaurants. Of the one-third that lodging would pay for, that's all lodging. That includes motels, RV parks, and vacation rentals. So the RV parks and vacation rentals would be paying some portion of the one-third of the total cost of the visitor center.
Yeah, I remember that report in depth specifically. Because actually you and I worked on it, and I remember that it came out that overall lodging was about a third, but that hotel-motel referrals were about 20%, and at the time the city wanted us to pay wanted us to pay the entire visitor center budget, which was $165,000, and they were lowering it to like 110 or 120 or something like that. And even though we hotel, motel, were only responsible for 20% of the referrals, we agreed to pay $33,000, which was basically one-third of the $100,000 that they were lowering it to. We agreed to a one-third share.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's where the one-third came in, but hotel, motel was about 20% of the referrals. Overall lodging was about a third, though. You're right.
Yeah.
Anything else, Nick?
No, I would just maybe ask, when it comes to our Madam Chair's response, if we could talk a little bit about how, because, you know, the legalities of including the vacation rentals in the TBID and that whole thing. So that's it.
Michelle?
So one thing that's interesting with the visitor center that I would not be surprised if the visitor center gets so many questions regarding vacation rentals, because we forget that as hoteliers, we have staff that answers a lot of questions. We are mini visitor centers all the time. So, and that's just one thing to point out. That's why, you know, if you're at a vacation rental, you don't have anybody to ask. You don't have a desk clerk to go down and be like, hey, write it down, so that they can see what has happened over the last 5 years and to see the money grow. That, you know, obviously generates overnight stays to everybody in Morro Bay, not just hoteliers and moteliers. I have a gentleman that stays in a vacation rental every year. He comes from Canada, and he always comes over and asks for a monthly pass for my hotel to do the hot tub. So and there's a lot of people that want, and I'm a sucker, I do it. You know, because we want to make people happy, and that's what it's about, is having a good experience in Morro Bay. So, but it's funny, because there's a note on my desk because he's coming back. So, yeah, so it's just kind of funny. So I think, you know, I think it's definitely something that the city needs to be aware of. And I agree. I think this was talked about earlier. It should go to Don Maruska. I mean, this is an economic development. This is a way for the city to make more money. I mean, this, you know, as far as them coming on to TBID, I would love it. I've been saying that since day one, that I think everybody should be paying into this. We market and promote the entire city, so I'm not shy about that one. I do think the RV parks need to be discussed, though. I will not lie. I think RV parks are a different animal than vacation overnight stays. I would really want some conversations about RV parks. I don't think it's the same market. I don't think when you... market an overnight stay, it's not the same for a vacation rental as a hotel as it is for an RV park. So I do think there needs to be some discussion on RV parks. I'm not totally sold on the RV park joining the TBID. I would want to have more discussion on it. I just don't think it's fair. They have a whole different ball of wax to deal with. So, Andy, I hope you're hearing me when I say that. I would not necessarily be in favor of that one. I would want to have discussion about it. Maybe there is benefit there, and maybe there's a smaller percentage, or maybe not at all. But I think that needs to still be discussed. But as far as vacation rentals, I definitely think that this needs to be something that's addressed across the board for the entire city. It's a city thing.
Michelle, I don't remember, and maybe you can joggle my memory, but who on the board, and I don't know if it was Jane or if it was Alex, was there some discussion about perhaps with our campgrounds and RV parks and doing a membership because they could join the Bureau as a member and we could, you know, promote them, and maybe perhaps that's the way to get that discussion going.
I think that was Jane.
I'm almost thinking it was Jane that she talked about that.
Yeah, Jane was really, I remember for years she talked a lot about memberships to this organization, so I really feel like that was a Jane conversation. I remember that conversation vaguely, but it was definitely not me. But yeah, so I am all in favor. I agree with Nick. The last line, vacation rentals should be made illegal in the city. Maybe a little harsh. So that's the only thing, if I was going to critique anything, that is the only thing I would possibly omit.
My turn. Great job. Terrific job. And the newspaper printed yesterday a very timely article on what San Luis Obispo did. It was right on the front page. One thing that they did was, if you have a granny unit, their ordinance excludes granny units from being able to be a vacation rental, which, because they're saying, I guess, basically that granny units or secondary units are meant to be affordable housing units. So they're trying to, that's their way of trying to keep affordable housing units inside San Luis Obispo. It's very interesting. So whether or not that becomes part of our city council's discussion, I don't know. One thing that I would like to see is, and I know that, you know, it's touched on in the very first paragraph, is I'd like to see an actual definition of what a vacation rental is, because a letter was put out from the city a while ago, and I did go in and speak to the finance director about the letter. In one letter, they referred to vacation rentals as three or four different names, and so it was very, very convoluted and confusing. I think they were referred to as vacation rentals, vacation rooms, vacation homes, and vacation houses. Those all mean completely different things. A vacation house or a vacation home is a secondary home that somebody uses that they just vacation in with their own family. They live in Fresno, they own a home here, and they come over every weekend and stay in their vacation home in Morro Bay. A vacation rental is an income-generating lodging institution that exists inside of a residential neighborhood. And I think that's important to define here as we try and move that forward. So that definition, that a clear definition at the top of this, they basically said there needed to, the vacation rental homeowner or their representing agent needed to be able to have a 15-minute response time to the actual residence, to the actual location, which, you know, that would cover Morro Bay back and forth a couple of times. I mean, you know, in terms of getting from downtown to any location, it's probably 10 minutes max, but 15 minutes would, you know, certainly cover it. And good for San Luis that they put that in there, because I think that would solve a lot of probably police calls, right?
Well, and, you know, the city council say that they did that because they didn't want people from L.A. or San Francisco
saying we're a representative?
To be a representative. Oh. That was their home. So say somebody in San Francisco buys a home.
Right.
And then he rents it out and he's in San Francisco. They wanted to make sure that they didn't have a bunch of that eating up the housing market. He talked about it. Was one council member that brought that up. It was,
and that's a good idea.
Yeah, so I thought that was the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, it's a really great idea. That everything else, the city noise guidelines and all that's the trash pickup, all of that looks terrific to me. And I'm sure this will obviously. My suggestion would be that, you know, if Brent and I are already sitting down with the city manager and possibly the tourism liaison to talk about, you know, the other aspects that the LEAP, other aspects of LEAP that we're going to delve into, that we just probably include, ask that the board, see if the board wants to present this as a addendum, a letter from the board, and we can present it to them at that time. That's just a thought that I had. In terms of touching on a bid for vacation rentals, I have to be honest with you. I am very concerned about the RV parks and campgrounds because, you know, we are surrounded. All the RV parks and campgrounds that are in municipalities are surrounded by state parks in this county and county parks, which don't charge TOT. The beauty of this county is that we have so many state parks and county parks. We're really blessed with that. But then when a municipality, and I'm going to use Morro Bay, charges a 10% TOT on campgrounds and RV parks, that puts our RV parks at a disadvantage in terms of rate and revenue management. So, you know, they're just right now about to take a hit and go to 11%. I can't imagine trying to corral that as a business owner and then have to deal with another conversation that's opening up in terms of, you know, the way that business is run and how their comp set, which is state parks and county parks, that's their comp set, manages their business and doesn't. In essence, what I'm saying is the state park can have a $75 campground rate. Let's use a $75 rate. They have a $75 rate, and they keep the whole thing. They don't charge tax because they're the state park. Why would they charge tax on themselves? They charge the $75 rate, and they keep it. Well, if Walker Mobile Home Park has a site available and they charge $75, they now have to put an additional $7.50 on top of that. So it's not apples to apples. And so I would be very concerned about that. So that's my thing on that.
Well, what about including vacation rentals and not including RV parks?
So that's where I'm headed. Okay. I would be more apt to include vacation rentals
that's
and not RV parks, or to ask the vacation rentals to be able to show the city and vacation rentals, look, these are the benefits that you're getting right now by not marketing. Imagine what you could do if you had marketing and compression going on that were directed towards you.
Well, under the map, the world map you had there, it showed they are reaping benefits from marketing.
Right, and they are not getting direct marketing. Imagine the growth if they had direct compression towards them. So the possibility is much, I think, bigger than what's occurring. So legally, how that's done, but I see Brett wants to say something to me.
Madam Chair and the rest of the board, if we were to look at the adding vacation rentals, would it behoove us to have a separate board for, like a separate bid for vacation rentals? Because if the way that the funding would come in, and again, we have to look at how that it's going to benefit the payer. Some of the things are very similar as far as like hotel motel, but there's some things I think that are a little bit different.
I think that's per budget, so 25% of the members need to be vacation rental owners so that they have an equilateral voice. And then we look at that, okay, 25% of our funding now needs to be geared towards that overall compression for vacation rentals. So there's, again, here we go again with we're herding cats because the cart's before the horse, but that would be two ways of looking at it. There are likely other ways as well, other solutions. So I think the first step is, you know, we go back to the city, we show them what we have here for vacation rental ordinance. We need to decide whether, as a board, we want to include RV parks in that conversation. And then also, you know, if they say, you know, we don't want to take that on right now, we've got too many things on our plate, then, you know, that's where we're at, because it's not our purview to form a bid. It's the city's purview to work with their partner, which would be vacation rentals. Does that make sense?
So I think what I'm hearing is we would need to make a motion to move this forward to send to the city.
Right. We need to make a motion to move this forward to add any changes that we want or any deletions. And I can tell you I'm comfortable with deleting RV parks from this conversation. But that's me. Do we have consensus on that? I don't know.
I would say leave RV parks in and let city council take them out if it's going to go. But I've been listening to what everybody's saying on the topic, and when we're out marketing Morro Bay, somebody's going to say, I'm going to stay in a motel. Somebody's going to start looking at VRBO, and somebody's going to start looking at RV park options. And they're all going to stem from looking at that one ad that we placed in Sunset that was a generic marketing advertisement for Morro Bay. So I think the RV parks do benefit from this spending, and therefore they should be part of the action. And I think the precedent for that is already done at the county.
Good point. One question I would have, and this would maybe need a little research, I'd be curious what the RV park's current occupancies are. Is there room for growth? Do they even have room for growth? You know, are they always at 80%? Are they always at 90%? You know, what's their, where are they at? That's just something I'd be curious about. And then, because I think with the VRBOs, we already know there's a lot of room for growth. We already know there's 150 of them. We already know their percentage rate. It's the RV parks that I don't really have that. I mean, looking at the TOT, I'm just curious because they have spaces and there's some history on that. And so I just would be curious what that information holds.
Let's do this. Let's take two separate motions. The first motion is going to be rules and regulations, and then let's take the bid issue separately, since it's on here.
So I'll make
so
a motion.
The rules and regulations on here, the one thing I'd like to see added would be the definition.
Okay.
Is everybody agreeable to that?
Yeah.
Adding a definition? Okay. Is there anybody who wants to see something added into this? Because now is your time to list that.
Yeah, let me do two things if I could.
Oh, okay.
I would say let's go ahead and eliminate the illegal part.
Okay.
There seems to be a lot of sensitivity to that. So let's reword that section just to say that we need enforcement.
Perfect. Yeah.
And then two, Joan, this is one of your points. The response time within 15 minutes or something like that that Slow
yes.
has put in there. That I wholeheartedly believe something along that line belongs in here. Maybe it's not 15, but it's not more than an hour. I would think, you know, if there's a complaint, the owner or the owner's representative should have somebody at site within 30 minutes. And I believe that's the law in Palm Springs.
Terrific.
Yeah, I like yeah. 30 minutes.
If we could add that in, that would be just, oh.
Because 15
as a resident.
Is a little pushing it. I mean, by the time you get your tennies on and your jeans on, that's 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And as a resident, I think that's, you know, it's key. You know, come on. We know there's got to be a response within 30 minutes or these people have their business license looked at. So, yeah.
So I'd make a motion that we accept this as presented with including those three changes. Oh, and carrying the T-bid, the second T-bid option separately.
Okay, great. I'll second that.
Great. So I'm going to do the all in favor by poll. All in favor, starting with Nick Mendoza?
Yes.
Michelle?
Yes.
Amit?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Joan, yes. Okay, motion carries with five of us. Okay, great. So the section on this report that is
conversation surrounding that, and I think just based off of some of the other conversations and recommendations from the board on doing some additional information gathering could be extremely helpful from now until February. So that's just a recommendation from me as being the executive director.
Well, we need to be clear with timeline, and I remember this timeline because I follow, you know, we follow it every year. With timeline, in terms of timeline, we will not meet the 2015 TBID guideline that's currently set out for our TBID collection. So because there's a 90-day protest window, and then there's the first notice of public hearing and the public hearing and 30 days in between those, and then it has to be legally noticed. You know, it's a six-month process. So if this, you know, if this were going to happen even now, we're a little behind the eight ball. We're talking about, you know, beginning of July or August collection. It does not mean that a collection could not be added in later and that, you know, all of it couldn't be somehow coagulated later. But it just does mean that if we move out to February, we need to recognize that once the process starts, it's about a six-month process. Just putting that out there.
So I would, what about throwing out the, just throwing it out there for, I mean, this, nothing's in stone. All this is going to the city. So I don't see why we couldn't just throw it out there. We can still be gathering information. We can still be working on all of it on the back end. But, you know, it's a slow process. If we don't get this moving, we could be looking, we could be talking about this next year.
Well, could we just ask Brent to call up John Lambeth's office and ask the question, what would have to be done to include, and for this conversation, RV parks and vacation rentals into the existing TBID? What would we have to do? What would have to be accomplished? Just to find, I mean, we may find out it's really an expensive process if we don't even want to pursue it, or we may find out it's a matter of a simple vote. I'm just suggesting we find out what we're dealing with, you know, the size of it, and then make a decision after we have that information.
Yeah, excuse me for just a moment. I know some, you know, we had vacations and other things going on at the time, but Mr. Lambeth was just here and did a full day's presentation on bids and how they worked and what the function was, and he touched on some of these things in Morro Bay at that workshop. And you know, there's several ways to, here we go again, but there's several ways to make this all come together. Again, you know, it can be included. It can be included in May. It can be included as a separate document. And then as May rolls around of 2016, the two separate documents, a vacation rental document and the Morro Bay TBID document, could merge. So there's a lot of.
Well, no. What I'm trying to say is, if you look at the way the county TMD was done, they defined the TMD to include motels, RV parks, and vacation rentals.
Right.
And then the vote to make this thing happen or not happen was based on the size of your vote was based on the size of your revenue, and so the motels all voted yes, let's move forward with this. So whether the vacation rentals or the RV parks voted yes or no, it really didn't matter because they were overwhelmed in the size of the vote by the motel industry. Now, could you do the same thing in Morro Bay and just expand the existing TBID to beyond existing motels and B&Bs to include VRBOs and vacation rentals, and then have a vote of that group? Because once again, what would happen would be the size of the vote of the motel industry would be so large, it would automatically overwhelm the other two industry segments, and those two industry segments would be included. So if that's the case, you know, it could be a relatively easy thing to have a vote, and which would include, let's just say, VRBOs and the vacation rentals got, or the RV parks got excluded. to include the vacation rentals, just in a single vote, which is primarily a vote of the motel industry.
So here's your answer. The answer is yes. But that doesn't mean that it's a relatively easy vote. I want to be clear that it sounds like a relatively, without, you know, reaching out and doing all the steps, the proper steps, it sounds like a relatively, like, controversial vote to me. And, by all means, I don't necessarily want to partner in our own community.
Campgrounds and RV parks. I don't think that you can
No, I think it's what you define to be in the population.
Okay, well, thank you. I thought it the... Right, so...
I believe that was a requirement of the county supervisors, that they wanted everybody in or nobody.
Right. It is, on either law, it is what you define in the population of the assessment and also the geographic location of the assessment. So it was the whole county, everybody in for the countywide TMD. For Morro Bay, it is the entire geographical encompassment of the city. And it is only the hotels. We're written under the 89 law, which sunsets every year, and we could go back and verbiage-wise or whatever, language-wise, include them. But the question is this a conversation that we want? We're back to the question. Is this the conversation that we want to open up with City Council? And if it is, you know, we open it up and let them decide, as Member Myers has suggested, or we ask them to exclude RV parks and campgrounds from the conversation, or we just move on without having the conversation. I need a consensus here. I want to move us forward. It's almost noon.
You could also take Brent's approach and discuss a little bit more at the strategic planning session, because another approach might be of going to the rental agencies in town that represent a significant number of the VRBO properties, the vacation rental properties, and talk to them about joining. See if you could talk them into joining. So you're not sweeping them in; you're asking them, and they are consenting to join. That would be a different approach. Maybe that's the way to handle it.
I like John.
Hang on
I
one
like
second.
That approach the best. What you just said there, John, I think I agree with what Joan's saying. I don't want to force anyone to be a part of this, which is why I've heard RV parks loud and clear that they have a different animal. I think I don't want to be a partner with someone who doesn't want to be a partner. I don't want to be the bully like other people have been.
I just want to caution the board when we discuss membership. If we open up membership to vacation rentals and we're going to advertise vacation rentals, we have 150 roughly vacation rentals, we get six vacation rentals, and we need to come up with a formula. Is it 3% total divided by 158 or whatever the formula is? So now it's $1,000 per vacation rental, and we get three vacation rentals that come in at $3,000. We now have to give them a clear and present voice as marketing vacation rentals for Morro Bay. So let's, I just want to, how that formula of what we do looks would be another in-depth conversation. So, but right now, do we want to move forward with this, or do we want to put this as a future agenda item?
I think we should move forward with it because, and we can still talk about it at our
strategic planning,
but I think we need to get it, let the council know that this is on our plate, and we're looking at it, and we need your input. You know, they're the one that need to decide whether they want to move forward with it, but, you know, we're looking at it, and we want them to look at it also, and let's see where we can go with it.
So what I'm hearing, then, is that the board would like to connect with City Council via letter and ask the City Council for a determination about whether they would like us to assist them in opening up the conversation for a vacation rental bid, if a vacation rental bid is something that the city desires. Is that what we're asking?
No, why don't we, as a tourism bureau, just go talk to the vacation rental industry? If you go to the City Council, nothing will happen. So... why don't we just go ask the vacation rental people, present to them that, you know, we think there's benefit in them, in their business, to participate in this program. Look at our historical results. You know, look at the numbers. And if they want to pursue a conversation among themselves, well, hopefully they'll want to pursue a conversation among themselves to determine if they, as a group, want to go with us or not. If they say, great, super, we'll move forward till the city council, we want to amend our legislation to include the vacation rentals. If they say no, we just walk away from it.
But, John, if you were a vacation rental, wouldn't you want to, why would you all of a sudden be like, yeah, no, you know what, I'm going to pay you? I mean, think about it. I mean, if you're truly a vacation rental, you're going to ride the backs as long as you can. So, I mean, I think in reality, and I get what you're saying, councils, you know, can't. I think that we need to be doing them both. I think that it needs, exactly, it needs to be done on both ends. I think the council needs to be aware of it, and we need to go to vacation rentals. I think it's almost like it needs to both be being done.
Okay,
I would say from like 1 to 2, invite some representatives from the vacation rental people, whoever wants to come, and we can share ideas what we're thinking about, how you feel about this, and I don't know if that's doable or not, but
see, but I would think that the board should get on board of what we want before we invite somebody to a meeting.
Yeah. We'll be
so,
having,
I mean, that's
board
just
members.
My two cents on that. I think that would maybe be a great discussion, like, mm-hmm. after we know where we're kind of going.
So I'm back to, I'm sorry, I'm coming full circle one more time. I'm running around in circles. I'm chasing my tail. Okay, so I'm back to, as chair, asking this board, can I get a motion from one of you to make a recommendation with our support to City Council? We'd like to make a recommendation that City Council open up the conversation of creating a vacation rental bid with vacation rental owners and managers, and that, however eloquently you want to word this, that it would also include support from the Tourism Bureau in terms of the communication and bringing it together. So basically, we're looking to, anyone want to summarize that for me? Because I had a summary and we moved on. We are separate, we can't do this. Mm-hmm. But together, we can determine whether vacation rentals really want to grow and whether the community really wants to grow. So as a motion, we need to look at it in terms of economic development and LEAP and suggest to the City Council that they open conversations with vacation rentals to form a bid.
Okay, I'm going to try to make a motion. I make a motion that we make a recommendation to City Council for economic development that they review the vacation rental
forming a vacation rental T-bid or including,
yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to word that, the vacation rental,
how about that a vacation rental T-bid be formed as either independently or as part of the existing BID.
Perfect, what John just said. John made the motion. I'll second it.
Okay, wait a minute. I got to back up because really by Robert's Rules of Order. I'm sorry, by
Robert's Rules of Order, we can't back up. So hang on. Okay, so yeah. Michelle is recommending that under economic development, the City Council review formation of a vacation rental T-bid.
Either by their own T-bid or including the existing?
Either standalone or including it in our current ordinance, mm-hmm. adding them to our current ordinance. Is that correct, Michelle?
Sounds good, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. And is that
with
a second?
With the Bureau's assistance. I don't know if we want to put that in there.
Yeah, with the Bureau's support. Is that a second, Member Myers?
Yes.
Is there any further discussion on this? Great. I'm going to poll you. Member Myers?
Yes.
Member Patel? Yes. Yes. Okay. Member Mendoza?
Yeah.
Yes. Member Hawkins, yes. Yay, yes, I say yes. Member Solu says yes. Yay. Okay, thank you, everybody. We are down to the bottom of the agenda. Oh, we can move off of that. And we are on to declaration and future agenda items. Brent, the only two things I have on is the action from the 1-8 closed session. Today's closed session, we need to add that so I can report any actionable items at our next meeting. That can be added to the meeting over there. Mm-hmm. And election of vice chair and secretary.
Yep.
I have that. Are there any other actionable items?
Event grant.
Event grant, future agenda, okay.
So it's those three items.
Okay. Any other future agenda items, folks?
I thought we weren't going to do the elections until March, after our strategic
planning. It still stays on future agenda until we get it done.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is, thank you. We'll accept those. And board announcements. No, I'd just like to say congratulations to Morro Bay High School on their victory over Templeton yesterday, girls soccer, which Ms. Hotelling scored 4 goals. She had a hat trick in the first half and then came back and won it in a PK. So great job, Morro Bay High School girls soccer. And that's all I have for right now, unless anybody would like to announce any events or anything like that.
You know, I should mention that the Rotary Club of Morro Bay is having their annual major fundraiser coming up on February 7th, Evening with Heart.
At 805-772-4467. That's 805-772-4467. They will also be doing a year in review presentation of the previous year's events and all the fun happenings of Morro Bay, and it's going to be quite a wonderful event. It's catered by D'Estasio's restaurant, so it should be some pretty terrific food, and lots of other restaurants are bringing in hors d'oeuvres, so we're really thrilled to have our partners, and that is the Chamber of Commerce annual gala announcing Citizen of the Year, Morro Bay Living Treasure, and Business of the Year, and that's the 23rd. That is at the community center. It starts at 5 p.m. Doors open at 5. And that's my announcement for now. Anyone else? No? Okay. Great. Amit's son has 2 teeth. Okay. Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you very much. We are adjourned. Time is 5 after.